I don't know what it is, but I just get a little loose. How many know what I'm talking about? Well, you know, some people don't know anything about that, you know. They go to church and they just want to be like one of them statues, you know. You ever see churches that have statues in them? You know, the statues are standing there like this. And it's kind of funny because the statues are all standing there like that, and then the people kind of mock them. They mimic them. They're like the same way, but I don't know. I just come alive, and when the Holy Spirit is here, he touches you. God's good. Amen. Why don't you lift your hands with me right now and just begin to thank him for his goodness to you. And Lord, for your healing power, for your deliverance grace, and for your mercy. Your new mercy every morning and your faithfulness throughout the night. And we thank you tonight, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, because your word is eternal. Your word, oh God, will light our path. It'll be a lamp unto our feet. It'll take us into another level of the kingdom understanding. And we will never be the same tonight, Father. I thank you tonight, Lord, that Holy Ghost revelation knowledge is about to flow into my mind. That my heart, oh God, will be open and receptive to the word, the eternal seed of God. And that from this night forth, I will never, never, ever be the same. I thank you, Lord, in advance for where I'm going. I thank you for where I've been, but Father, I'm not content to stay in that place. I'm ready to go higher. Are you ready to go higher in Jesus? Come on. Just let him know. Say, Lord, I'm ready to go higher. I'm ready to go higher with you. Ready to go higher with you. Spirit of the Lord, take me to a higher place. I'm ready to go. Father God, I'm ready. I'm hungry. I'm desiring to be with you, Lord. I desire, God, to be in your place. Oh, I leave back the things, oh God, that have held me down, and I want to go where you are. I just love you, Jesus, and I worship you tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. If you have a Bible, please open it up tonight. We're going to share the word a little bit with you. Our goal tonight is to help you to get breakthrough and to find a place of total and complete and consistent victory in your Christian life. You know, I believe that the Bible is a book that is a manual for living, and it ought not to be just applied once a week, but it ought to have principles that we can apply daily so that we can be victorious on a daily basis. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, and the Bible says this, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The object of the blinding of the God of this world is our minds. The mind for the believer is the battlefield. The mind of the believer is the battlefield. And when we understand this principle, understand this truth, we will recognize that everything that our mind sees, everything that our mind accepts, will shape and determine our condition, our state, and our destiny. So what you're seeing in your mind, what you're thinking, what you are accepting in your mind will determine your state of being, or also will outline your future or your destiny. So the most effective deceptions that the enemy can offer us is when he offers us partial truth. Because we know enough about the Bible that we're not going to swallow error. But it's when we get partial truth that we're not real certain about that we can be deceived. And we find it illustrated in Adam and Eve, the story there of Eve, how she added to the word of God. She said, well, God said, don't eat of the tree. And he said, don't touch it. Well, God never said not to touch the tree. But there was this Christian idealism. This was this acceptance of, of adding to the Bible, adding to the Word of God. And the enemy will attempt either to blind our mind or to veil our eyes so that what we do see is distorted. Either we won't see it at all, or what we can see in the kingdom of God will not be truth. It'll be a distortion of the truth. And so we have to learn tonight some simple steps, because what I'm going to share with you tonight will help you to break through and walk in total victory each day of your life. There is no reason why we as believers should not maintain a level of victory in our life every day. Now, here's what the enemy will do. And if you have this slide, you can put it up. He attacks our minds by bringing all that he can see around us to challenge all that we claim to know. All that we claim to know, the devil will bring before us to challenge us so that we will see the exact opposite. Now let me explain this. I can illustrate this if I can get three volunteers to stand right over here, and then three volunteers to stand right over here. Let me illustrate this, please. Gentlemen, first gentleman up here, Bob, you are a man that knows it's God's will that you're to be healed. Come on back, stand right behind these guys here. You know it's God's will to be healed. Now, when the devil, when he knows that we have a truth, all that we claim to know, he knows that it's God's will that we're to be healed. How many believe that? Okay, by his stripes, we are made whole, right? All right, but what he'll bring before you is a doctor's report or sickness that will begin to show what you know is not true. Now watch. You know it's God's will that you walk in health, but he'll bring before you all that you believe or claim to know and challenge what it is you think you know. So that when you get the report, now your mind begins to play on you like, I wonder if it's really true. Now, if that doesn't, excuse me, go ahead. If that doesn't work, go ahead. Here we have this gentleman. This gentleman believes it is God's will that you prosper, that you have increase and you have abundance and have all your needs met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many believe that? Let me see your hand. All right. Watch this. All you claim to know, the devil will bring before you to challenge what you know in your mind. So now here comes lack. Here comes debt. Here comes not enough money for my honey. Here comes your pink notice, your layoff slip. All of these things now are being presented to what you claim to know. Because claiming to know it does not necessarily make it happen in your life. You have to now begin to battle the thoughts that come into the mind that are attempting to change what you claim to know. Now, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you think you know about God. Everything you claim to know will be challenged by the devil. Everything you claim to know. I don't care if it's prosperity. I don't care if it's health. It doesn't matter. Thank you, gentlemen. Now, this gentleman over here, he believes it's God's plan that he have a Holy Ghost marriage, that his children serve the Lord, that he would walk in covenant blessing with his family. And so he's just thanking God for that. He knows that. However, now he comes and he gets confronted by his eldest son. And his eldest son said, Daddy, I don't want nothing to do with God, with you, with the church. I'm fed up. I'm tired of it. I'm walking in rebellion. I think you're nothing but a hypocrite. You're a phony. I'm out of here. And so are the rest of them. Now he stands there and has to make a decision. Thank you, gentlemen. Because everything you claim to know will be challenged by the enemy to arrange in your life circumstantial evidence to somehow captivate your mind. Now look at somebody and say, he's out to capture your mind. Now that's very, very important, because the principal access of the enemy into the believer's affairs in life is through your mind. It's through your mind. Now go over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. And let's understand a truth out of the scripture that helps us to kind of define further this concept of the entry point of the enemy. Here's what the scripture says in verse 6, Romans 8. For to be what? Carnally minded. Now, to be carnally minded is what? So to be carnally minded means death. Now, the opposite, though, is to be spiritually minded. To be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Isn't that powerful? So here's the attempt of the enemy. He'll let you go to church. He'll concede your salvation. He'll let you sing in a choir, jump and shout. He'll let you quote your Bible, even pray and go to crusade meetings and church services like this tonight. He'll even let you do that. As long as he can keep your mind carnal, he knows that your future is bleak. Meaning you may get to heaven, but while you're here on earth, you ain't living nothing but a hellish life. Because if he can get your mind carnal, then he can defeat you. Because a carnal-minded person is death. That means your finances will slowly die. Your health will slowly deteriorate. Your marriage will be in trouble. Your relationships with children and others will always be under strain. Why? Because to be carnally-minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So what does he have to do? He has to somehow produce carnality in our mind. Now let me give you three things that I believe are absolutely vital to counter so that we can maintain a spiritual mind. Now look at somebody tonight and say, be spiritually minded. You say, now why are you having me say these things to people I don't even know? We must understand by repetition, it's the mother of all skill, to get a truth down in our spirit and to muse upon it, to understand it. Because going to the kingdom of God, coming into the church culture, I am not interested in attending church so somebody else can get a big ego. I'm not interested in going to church so I can get a large crowd and we can put them on TV. I'm not interested in that either. What I'm interested in is finding people who were broke, busted, and disgusted, dead and discontented, and were depressed. Let them find and hang out into the cave of Adullam for a while, learn principles of victory, and walk in a spiritual-minded life so they can enjoy life and peace. Amen? That's the goal of the local church. So the first thing that the enemy will do, and how you can discern whether or not you are carnally minded, is in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 23. A carnal-minded person will always find themselves arguing against the word of God. This is a story about Peter. And Peter heard from Jesus and how Jesus told him the Son of God must go up to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of man. He said, he turned and said to Peter, because Peter said, Lord, don't let this happen. Matter of fact, the Bible said that Peter rebuked Jesus. He rebuked him and said, no, Lord, I rebuke that out of your mouth. He was arguing with the word of God. And he said, he turned and said to him, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not what? Mindful. Now everybody talk to me. You're not what?
Mindful
of the things of God. But you are mindful of what? The things of man. So you and I have to be mindful. Mindful. Full mind. Pertaining to the things of God. Not a full mind of the things pertaining to men. When our minds are not full concerning the things of God, we will find ourselves arguing against Scripture. Well, Lord, I tried to pray. I tried to do this, and I go to church, and it doesn't work, and I just don't understand. And we find ourselves debating the scripture. Number two, in order to define whether or not a carnal mind is creeping up on us, not only will you find yourself arguing against the Word of God, but in Luke chapter 22 and 3, you will lose your sense of value of Jesus Christ or the kingdom of God. Now, we find this in Luke 22 when Judas, the Bible tells us that Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. Next scripture, please. In verse 4. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. Judas, what did he do? He actually devalued Jesus and increased the value of money. He sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Laodicean church, let me talk to the Laodicean church, because we have today in this hour a group of people prophesied in the book of Revelation who say they have need of nothing, that they are content and well fed and well taken care of. In other words, they will not pay the price to buy gold from Jesus because they feel self-sufficient in their own life. But Jesus said, you are naked, wretched, poor, and blind. Buy from me gold that is refined by fire. He said, you are neither hot nor are you cold, but you are lukewarm, and I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. It is a generation who values material things more than they value Jesus. There's nothing that can come between you and Jesus. There should be nothing that is elevated between your walk with God. There's nothing in this world that I hunger for and desire and I want to be with more than Jesus. Right there, man, is a good praise break. Just lift your hands and praise him right there. Just thank him that you love him and he loves you, and you know him, that there is nothing else that you want in this world but Christ alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know you become carnally minded when you begin arguing with the Word of God. Number two, when you value the things of this world more than you value the kingdom of God. And Judas sold his relationship with Jesus for material things. And number three, we find it in Luke chapter 12, 17 through 19. The enemy will always attempt to get you to shift your focus from God to I. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no more room to store my crops? He said, I know what I'm going to do. He said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. Now Jesus said, thou fool, your soul will be required of you tonight. The point here is that he became carnally minded because he shifted his focus from God to himself, from others to himself. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot afford to walk in a carnal mind, because a carnal mind will bring death, but a spiritual mind will bring life and peace. So today we can't be full of mind things that are in this world. You see, the enemy has no access to your spirit. Hallelujah. If you're born again, anybody in this room born again? Well, the devil can't oppress your spirit, can't possess your spirit, can't slap you in your spirit, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, this gentleman who built all these barns and focused on himself, I, the scripture says he thought within himself. His thoughts were not on things above, His thoughts were not on the Word of God. His thoughts were on himself. And he no longer thought about God and his kingdom, but his thoughts were consuming about himself. So your spirit is protected. Now let me show you this, please. If I can have somebody stand here with me, please. Somebody just right there. This is your spirit. Then I need another person to stand right here, please. Doesn't matter. Tossie, you want to help me? Yeah. You can be the mind. And then another person right here. Doesn't matter. Just come on up here. Thank you, Jeff. Your spirit, Cain, is in communion with God. Just step forward there because I got all kind of stuff behind me. I'm God. Not really, but I'm playing God. And this is your spirit. How many know that you are not a soul? And you're not a body. You are a spirit. Say, I am a spirit. Possessing a soul. Living in a body. So your spirit is the real you. Amen? So your spirit is in communion with God. Now, as we understand this truth, we said the enemy has no access to your spirit because it is in communion with God. So what does he have to do to try to infiltrate or try to turn your mind into blindness or veil your sight? He must then now work with the mind. He must now work with the mind. The mind is now the center of his attention. And because his mind is the center of his attention, he is attempting to come between your spirit and your mind. Why? Until the spirit and the mind get connected. Go ahead and lock arms over there. You and I will never see the results of covenant promise. Just stand over there and put your hands out toward them. Right there. Just put your hands out toward them. Like just both hands. Just like you're giving them something. Okay, there you go. Spirit, mind connected. Covenant blessings and promises of God. Your mind and spirit have to be together in order to experience the covenant blessings of God. So the covenant and blessing, if you go back over there, if I release the mind from the spirit and I blinded you and now I have caused you to, sit down, sir, lose your mind. You ever meet anybody that's acting like they've lost their mind? If the mind is the equation, watch this. If the mind is the equation, part of the equation that you've got to have connected to the spirit in order to operate in the promises and the covenant blessing of God, once the mind is removed, I don't care how much you pray. Read your Bible and say, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. You ever meet Christians like that? They wear you out, man. They wear God out. These blessings will never be a part of your life. That's why Israel, when they left Egypt, thank you guys, you can sit down. When Israel left Egypt, only two made it in. Because they had a different spirit. Their spirit was connected to a renewed mind. Remember, what did they say? We can take the country. Surely there are giants there. Oh yeah, there's fortified cities. But God said. See, what happened is that mind got connected with the spirit. And two of them got in. 600,000 perished in the wilderness. I don't know about you, but you see what I'm hungry for in this generation is for Christians, for people that go to church, not just to talk about church and say church words and sing church songs, but Monday through Saturday live a victorious life in the abundance and the blessings of God. Come on, put your hands together and give God praise. Come on. He's worthy of praise. Yes, Lord. That's why the Bible is filled with scriptures that say this, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by and not by. Why? Because everything we claim to know, the devil will bring before us to challenge us, because he wants us to see that it is the opposite of what we claim to know. So Paul said, we don't walk by. We walk by. Come on, you have to talk to me tonight. This is Sunday night. This is not Sunday morning. Come on. You can't walk by what? Sight. We walk by faith. So when I see the doctor's report, when I see the pink slip, when I see my child in rebellion, when I see my wife or my husband sick, when I see people betray me, it doesn't matter, because I don't walk by what I see anyway. I walk by what I know. That's why the scripture says, because your mind will cause you to miss the covenant blessing. It's the devil's attempt to take you out through your thinking. Now, let me give you another scripture. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. He tells us to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, that's an interesting verse, because when we just talked about the spirit of a man, which is really the man, communing with God, now we see Paul writing the church at Ephesus, and he said, I want you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, I want your mind to be spiritualized. Now, what does that mean? That means I want to be in tune with the spiritual level, the spiritual signal that's coming from my spirit. Your spirit is in here, and it's communing with the Holy Ghost. And so to be spiritually minded is to be tuned into the frequencies of the spirit communication. Number three, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. The Bible tells us that those of us who stay our mind on Him will be kept in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed. Everybody say stayed. Stayed means fixed. Means I'm not moving. You can't talk me out of it. You can't debate me out of it. You can't persuade me. You can't bring enough evidence contrary to what I know to cause me to move. People like that, the Bible says they will have perfect peace. They will have shalom. They will have nothing missing. They will have nothing broken. See, we got to keep our mind fixed. I was listening to Donnie McClurkin this morning, and I'm telling you, it was just powerful. I couldn't even go out to shake hands this morning. I was just in my office, and Mike was in there with me, and he's crying, I'm crying, and he's singing, I've got my mind made up. I was having church back there, man. What's the next line of that? I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back. 'Cause I'm gonna see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back. 'Cause I wanna see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up. Oh yeah. Come on, look at your friends. Look at your neighbor behind you. Say, did you make up your mind today? How many would say with me this tonight? Now, let's be honest. How many today did not make your bed? Let me see your hand. Ah, glory. My hand's up. Hey, listen, the sheets on my bed are so twisted and turned. We're going to have to work it out when we get home tonight. Don't let your mind be like your bed. Make it up. Come on, make it up.
Got my mind made up, and I won't. See my Jesus. Want to see my Jesus someday. Now there's another part to that song. What does it go? Yeah, well, we ain't gonna sing it tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Here's another scripture. Gird up the loins of your mind. Strengthen. Therefore, gird up or strengthen the loins of your mind. Did you know your mind has loins? Now, loins is your strength. Loins is also the place of reproduction. It's the place of energy. It's the place of life. And he said, therefore, gird up the energy place of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the revelation that comes to you that will strengthen and gird up your mind. So you're getting a revelation tonight. It's a simple one. To be carnally minded is what? But to be spiritually minded is what? We know that the devil will cause us to be carnally minded three ways. Number one is what? Argue against the word. What's number two? Devalue Jesus. Materialism over God. Number three, what is it? Selfishness, from focus from God to myself. See, now that's a simple truth, but that's a revelation that'll keep you spiritually minded, which will produce life and peace in you instead of constantly having to be defeated and walk in this defeated Christian life. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let. Ever say let? Let. Say let again. Let. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Romans 12 and 2, it says this, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you see, the two most effective tools that the devil uses is to blind us against truth or to distort truth. And I like to title it this way, it's either flies or lies. The devil likes to tell lies. Because he's the father. The originator of lies. Have you ever seen a carcass on the side of the road? Have you ever seen a rotting carcass? What normally accompanies a rotting carcass? Flies. Did you know that most Christians today form their theology based on their wounds, failures, or rejections in life? In other words, we form what we believe by the wounds we've experienced. Some believe every preacher is a liar and a cheat. Why? Because you've been hurt by a preacher who has lied on you and has cheated you. So out of your pain, you have created or developed a theology. Now, how many know that the devil is called Beelzebub in the scripture? You know what Beelzebub means? Lord of the flies. Now, understand something. Here's what the devil loves. He loves open wounds. When he can find a Christian who has open wounds, he will be attracted to the blood. Because he knows that if he can come to the open wound, and he could lay his larva in that open wound, they will live and multiply. If you and I tonight are walking around in the kingdom of God with open wounds, then flies are coming to us, and the enemy is doing all that he can to lay these eggs in that open wound in order to perpetuate the pain. That's why tonight you need to get healed of that resentment. You need to get healed of that thing that you've been carrying. Don't let the devil lie to you anymore. Not every preacher is a liar. Not every preacher is a thief. Not every preacher is out to hurt you. Not every church. Don't let the devil lie to you.
So you see, we have to then be healed. It's sort of like Malchus. Malchus was a servant of the high priest who accompanied those that were going to arrest Jesus on the night of his betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was there with them just doing his duty. And Peter pulled out his sword. Remember the story? And he swung his sword at him and he cut his ear off. Now the ear will bleed profusely. That ear was severed and fell into the Palestinian sand in the Garden of Gethsemane. No doubt immediately he went to cover that ear, crying out and screaming. And what did Jesus do? He stepped in to the place of the wound. But here's where most Christians make the mistake. They don't believe that Jesus is the one that ought to do the healing. They want the one that brought the pain to bring the healing. They want Peter to come and try to bring healing. I want him and I want her to tell me it's going to be all right. Come on, you need to repent. You need to come to me and tell me. You better start telling me you're sorry, because if you don't do it, I can't be healed. Let me tell you something tonight. The one that hurts you will not be the one that will heal you. It is Jesus Christ and him alone. Stop going to church with an open, festering wound. We walk around from church to church and we take that ear that's been severed and we say, look what they did to me over at First Church. Look at it. Look at it. That old stinking, nasty flesh. But Jesus stepped in, picked up the ear, and he walked over to Malchus and he said, be healed. And immediately, Malchus's ear was restored. I want to admonish you here tonight. If you've been hurt, you've been betrayed, there have been people that have lied on you and cheated on you. There have been churches that have made funny things happen in your life, and preachers and ministers and all of this kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. Don't carry around your ear. I want you just to receive the healing virtue of Jesus Christ. He wants to heal you tonight. He wants to restore you tonight. He wants to bring you into wholeness. Flies will swarm to the wounds to spread the infection. The scripture highlights the truth that we will be changed into what we are beholding. And if I am not beholding him clearly, then I will be transformed into the distortion. I don't want to be transformed into a distortion. And if it's not a fly, it'll be a lie. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 44. And Jesus said this to the religious leaders of the day. He said, your father, the devil. He said, you're of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, watch this, he speaks from his, what does it say? Own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. When I'm standing in faith and I'm saying, I am the healed of the Lord, and the doctor's report and the physical evidence and all of the natural things I see are staring me in the face, I cannot develop a theology to incorporate my failure to stand in truth. I don't care if I'm in an intensive care unit and I've got 3 IVs hanging out from me and a life support breathing mechanism down my throat, and I've lost all but maybe 50 or 60 pounds. Don't walk in my room and tell me that it's not God's will for me to live, because I want to live. I don't care. As long as there is breath in me, I refuse to speak a lie. I refuse to speak. Don't tell me it's not God's will. Well, it's not God's will that he heals today. That was for the apostles. You're a liar. And your father was a father of lies. And you're from the same spirit. We got more liars in church than we got out on the street. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Because we speak what? We speak from our own resources. I've only got one resource to speak from. I don't know what it says until I tell you what it says. I got to tell you, this is what I believe. I don't care if it doesn't line up with what I'm experiencing. This is what I believe. I'm not going to lie about it. God said it. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to believe it. And I'm not moving from it. I'm not speaking from my own resource. This is my resource. This word is my life. I didn't come in here to play Christian Monopoly. I didn't come in here to play some Christian Yahtzee so we could have something to do on a Sunday morning and Sunday night. I didn't get saved just so I think I can go to heaven. I came in here to make a mark that will not be erased. I came in here to be a world changer. I came in here to cause the devil's kingdom to be turned upside down. I came in this place today to declare to this region that Jesus Christ is Lord and there is none other, and that God is able to raise up a person out of the lowest hell and bring them into the highest glory. Come on, somebody, praise him. Come on, give him a shout in here. Come on, somebody, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not going to speak from my own resources. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever think or all that I can ask. My God is able. The more difficult the situation, the more I get stirred up. I don't care. Present all the evidence you want. They all walk down on you. That's all right. God will raise them up out of the dead if he has to. Nobody wants to praise the Lord. That's all right. Bring some rocks in here. Put them on the chair. They'll cry out. That's what God said. I'm not going to worry about that. Everybody thinks you're crazy. That's all right. God thinks I'm all right. As long as he thinks I'm all right, I got my mind made up. I don't care what other people think. Come on, somebody. Look at somebody and say, I don't care what the people think. Come on, tell them. I say, I got my mind made up. I got my mind made up. So let me have my covenant blessing back over here. Let me have my mind up here. Let me have my spirit back over here. Come on, spirit. Come on, mind. Come on, covenant blessings. Because you see, as long as this spirit is in communion with God. I love that song tonight. Through every mountain. My God, that was good. These are the days of Elijah. You see, we sang it, didn't we? Woo! Ezekiel and Elijah and Daniel, Jeremiah and the prophets. Them were bad dudes, man. Woo, they didn't care what you thought. Throw me in a pit. I don't care. Feed me bread and water. It's all right. God's with me. Put me in a lion's den. Doesn't matter. I'll lay down. I'll lay down on that shaggy old mane. Doesn't bother me none. I believe that my God is able. I mean, these were bad dudes. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. My Lord. So you have your spirit in communion with God. And as long as your spirit is in communion with God, you have a mind that has to be renewed. And if this mind is in the renewed state, he comes in covenant with the spirit. When your spirit and your mind are in oneness, the covenant blessings are going to be released. This is what we call spiritually minded. Does that make sense to us? This is spiritually, I'm sorry, I got it backwards. Spiritually minded. As a result, covenant blessing. But to be carnally minded, break that. Covenant blessing, come over here. Be carnally minded is for carnal mind to go over there and sit in the world and just accept things the way they are. To be carnally minded is death. Because the spirit has no connection with the promise. God gave us a mind, a soul, a mind, will, and emotion as a bridge from the spirit to the covenant blessing. And I know there's a lot of people that say, well, you don't have to go that far. I mean, if you're sick, you're sick. Look, I have had challenges in my health. I am not the sick trying to get better. I'm the healed protecting my health, okay? So there's a way of saying it. Look, I mean, I just had pneumonia in my lung. That's what they said. But I said, that's all right. I'm the healed protecting my health. It's all right. But we can't succumb to the theology of the world that doesn't even know God. They don't even know God. I'm talking about, well, you can't talk like that. Well, you Christians are crazy. You're trying to make it go too far with the Bible. So what you know? You don't even know the Bible. You don't even read the Bible. You know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You don't know the other boys down the street or who they are. You have no idea who they are. And you're trying to tell me what I don't believe. Come on. So I got a renewed mind. I've got a spirit mind. So the spirit mind, get back up, spirit mind. Woo, spirit mind. Get connected with the spirit. They're in union. And the covenant blessing can't help himself. He's got to go to where the victory is. Now give these guys a hand. Didn't they do good? Thank you very much. Here's what we need a baptism of. Are you ready? I'm going to close with this. We need a baptism of mind renewal. Some of our minds need a bath. We need washed in the Word of God. So Holy Spirit, we just ask right now that you would bathe our minds. That you this night, God, would give us a baptism of mind renewal. That you would spiritualize our thinking. And tonight, Father, we relinquish our mind to the eternal Word of God. We, Father, bind and rebuke flies and lies. The enemy will no longer steal my destiny. He will no longer steal my future. Tonight, Father, my mind will be engaged with my spirit. And I'm looking for the covenant blessings to work for me. How many in here tonight would say, preacher, I've got my mind made up. I'm going to cross the line. I'm not going to toy any longer. You see, there are people in this room tonight that if you were to die tonight, you don't know whether you'd go to heaven or you would go to hell. There are people in this room tonight that really don't even have a concept of eternity. You say, I maybe have a belief, but you don't even know if it's true. And I'm not going to do a disservice to you because some of you need to be born again. That's the starting place. And I want you to receive Christ. But if all you're going to do is come and pray a prayer and never become a disciple, a learner of Christ, to renew your mind, you're going to live a defeated life the rest of your Christian experience. But if you're willing tonight to be a believer in Christ and to be a learner of His Word and hook your mind up, spiritualize your mind with your spirit, then tonight I want to pray for you because I believe God wants to save you and has a great plan for your life. Secondly, there are people here tonight sitting in this room. You're born again, but you've been living a defeated life. You've not been living a victorious life because you've not allowed your mind to be renewed. You have believed what you've seen and not what God has said. Not because you don't love God. Oh, no, no, no. You love God, but you have not been taught that you have to spiritualize your mind. And tonight you're saying, you know what? This message is stirring me up in my belly. I'm going to make the change. I'm going to step over the line. I am crossing over. There are some people in here tonight who have been wounded. Open wounds and flies have come in to fester and to spread infection. But God wants to heal that tonight. Close up the wounds. Let's get it over with. Let's finish it tonight. Let God heal you tonight. There are some people in here, number four, that you're weak in your faith and you need guidance into all truth. You see, the Bible said that if the Holy Ghost will come upon you, you shall receive power. You say, well, what is that all about? On the day of Pentecost, they were in the upper room crying out to God, and the Holy Spirit descended, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, speaking in tongues is not a badge of spirituality. It is an impartation of strength and power to live this godly life and to spiritualize your mind. The Bible calls him the guide into all truth. He will take you by the hand and bring you right into truth. You need this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number five. Some of you have been walking and wandering and searching and attending and visiting here and there and all around. And that's all right. I have great respect because I know that God's going to take you where you need to be. Not everybody needs to be here at this church. But some of you need to make a decision for that tonight. This isn't just a choice. It's not attending the church of your choice. This is a Holy Ghost appointment for a time that God has destined for this region. And if he's calling you, if he's bringing you into this place, then it's time for you to make a decision at the altar of God. That's where covenant is made, at the altar of God. I've given you five things. Be born again. Cross the line and come all the way. Be healed from all the wounds. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, or making a covenant to become a partner with this ministry. I believe the Holy Spirit is here right now speaking to many people. So I'm going to ask right now for everybody to stand, altar ministers to come across the front of this great room as we just begin to worship him and sing his praises. Yes, I want you to lift your hands up. Let's just bid the Holy Ghost to come right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Just bid the Holy Spirit to come right now. You're in this room and you say yes to one of those five things. I want you to get out from where you're standing and make a commitment to pray with one of these people. Come on, this is your moment. Don't stand and wait. I want you to move right now. Move right now. Men, come with the men. Women, come with the women. Come on, this is your moment. This is your moment. This is your moment. Come on, sing it. Holiness.
Holiness. Holiness. It's what I long for.
It's what I long for.
Holiness is what I need.
Holiness.
Holiness. Holiness. It's what you want for me.
Okay, just hold up 1 second. Now, what I'm talking about tonight is an encounter between you and God. I know maybe some of you are a little hesitant to come up and pray with somebody that you don't know, but it doesn't matter. Get over that. Get over that shyness. Get over that wondering and questioning. If you're here tonight and you need to make this move, get it over with. Get it behind you. Make that decision. And come and let's pray and let's believe God. Amen? Come on, we're going to sing it again. I want you to move out. Guys, find a guy. Ushers, help us so that they can find somebody to pray. Come on, everybody, lift up your voice. Let's worship him. Come on, sing holiness, Lord. Yes.
Holiness. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need.
Holiness.
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 Holiness. It's what you want for me.
Come on, this is a moment tonight where we're going to break through. Some of you that have already broke through, I want you to begin to cry out to God. I want you to begin to build an altar before the Lord, because I believe this is a moment that this is going to change the destiny and the future of your life. You'll never remain the same. God is taking you to another level. Come on, I want you to respond to him right now. Surely, surely, surely God is speaking to your heart. The kingdom of God has been waiting for you. The kingdom of God needs you. The kingdom of God desires you tonight. Come on, we need to hear from you. God needs to hear from you. Come on, worship. Come on, worship. Come on, worship. Worship Jesus. We bless you, Lord.
The Son